we get it underway, though, by welcoming back to the program our multi-talented friend, Gary Tangway. You know him as a sportscaster, actor in the most talked-about movie of the year, Don't Look Up, and he's the author of a terrific new novel called The Arm and the Fall. Hello there, Gary.
Richie, how are you?
Well, I'm just incredibly jealous of you being so talented and all that, because you're doing so many of the things that I would like to do if I had the commitment and the work ethic.
Well, no, what you have to do is, and this may be the case, you have to get laid off, get a severance package, and have a wife that has a good job.
Well, I'm trying. I'm doing everything I can.
Because, I mean, in all reality, listen, 2,000 people got laid off at NBC Sports, at the time, and I said, okay, well, I'm going to do some stuff. So that's what I'm doing. So I have not wasted any time.
Well, no, not at all. So I read your book, The Arm and the Fall. Very clever title. I liked the title even before I knew how real it would all ring true. And I don't want to give away anything. We don't want any spoilers here. People need to read this thing. But, man, it was a blast. I loved it. I couldn't put it down once I started.
Well, it's fun. I mean, it's not, it's not Shakespeare. It's not, like I said, it's, I told you before, when I read Stephen King's book on writing, I realized, just tell a story. And I just told a story that I wanted to tell, and one that popped into my head, and one I had a good time writing. And so it's fun. That's what everybody's telling me is, A, I've been fortunate enough somehow to keep a line of suspense throughout the book, which is hard to do. So I'm very happy with that.
Right. I will say, fun. I had no idea. The ending caught me completely by surprise.
Right. And the thing of it is the hard thing is, like, when you do an ending, but you want to lay enough pebbles along the way to, like, earn that right.
Mm.
But you don't want to, like, too much so somebody says, I figured it out, so I was happy with that. And you got to keep it moving. People have short attention spans. Like, don't waste time with, useless minutiae describing something that's not relevant to me. If it's relevant to the story that the reader needs to understand to help them understand the movie, then, you do it. And if you can say it in one line as opposed to three, do it. And that's what I tried to do. And it's fun. You know me, Rich. I mean, I am not a serious person. So, obviously. I mean, it's, the whole thing with, the thing that I've always had a hard time with is people that take themselves seriously in sports. It's okay to take the job seriously, but you can't take yourself seriously. Because we're also irreplaceable. And I got kind of fed up with the elitism of people in sports and sports media, and especially when the whole Brady Deflategate thing went down, where it was being covered as if it was World War III, and I said, this is ridiculous. When I'm watching the evening news and they're having PSI experts on, in A1, right? I mean, I'm not kidding. Wolf Blitzer is talking to somebody. I mean, CNN is sending their A-team to Phoenix, where we were. And I said, and I was angry. I go, this is ludicrous. This is stupid. I could not believe it. And that's kind of how I got the idea, the book is like, and this isn't giving away anything. It's like, okay, if they're going this crazy, if Brady, like, allegedly, well, he probably did, whatever. It didn't matter. It was stupid. If it took some air out of a football, what happens if an MVP gets murdered at the Super Bowl?
And so that's the basis of the book. Yeah. We're ready for the big game, and the star quarterback, the greatest quarterback of all time, Danny the Arm Wilcox, is dead. It looks like a suicide, but a number of people aren't so sure, including a fairly washed-up sportscaster on his way out the door named Jerry Cushing. Already, some of these people sound so familiar, I feel like I know them.
Yeah, that's so funny. Well, Jerry Cushing is every 6 and 11 sports anchor across the country. I mean, you just go down the line. You could start from George Hale in Bangor, Maine, all the way to Fred Rogan in L.A. They're all the same. It's like that's what you grew up with. They do the 3-minute sports at 6. They go down to the Panabi or whatever the local bar. They get a steak and a couple of brews. They come back and they, mumble through the 11. I'm not saying that Hale did that, but that was always kind of the stereotypical local sportscast, 6 o'clock, rolls out at 6:30, heads over to the steak joint, has a couple of pops and a steak, comes back, does it at 11, you know, gets up, does it all up the next day. And that's, you know, what Jerry is. His whole life was TV. And it's come to an end. I mean, those jobs are pretty much irrelevant, you know, now. I mean, at one point, that was a big deal, but it's just changed.
Well,
so he has to deal with that. And yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to write.
Well, and he gets involved in the investigation into the murder in more ways than one, as he becomes, in a sense, partners with the detective, who is a great character, Detective Rocky Suarez, who is, she's got it going on. She's got it all happening for her, and somehow decides to work with Cush.
Well, here's the thing that I as in the book, is that, you know, Cush is getting on in years. I mean, you know, like I said, from the neck up, he's a 7.5. Right? So, you know, like Trini Kuznarek said to me, she said, Gary, he has a good head of hair and brown eyes. Who could that be? I don't know. But, like, you know, he's got a punch, you know, but he doesn't care. You know, he still thinks he's the man in some way. You know, he's still really committed to the job. And that false confidence, as I say, she finds attractive, because she's, you know, like I said, Rocky Suarez is a combination of Cher, J-Lo, and Beyonce, you know, and she carries a double barrel machine gun. And like even somebody said to me, this is the great thing about writing fiction. Somebody said, is there such thing as a double barrel machine gun? I said, in this book there is.
Right, right.
Who cares? Like, I looked it up. I don't care. Let's, you know, and you know, it gets into the whole quarterback and the football thing and the backup quarterback and, you know, a crazy cult leader, which, you know, so you can make connections to certain people. But I tried to keep the characters pretty widespread, you know, where,
right,
you know, it's not like that character is, that guy. Like, the owner of the football team is not Robert Kraft. I mean, there's maybe a little
Bob Kraft. I felt like there was a fair amount of Jerry Jones in there. It's an amalgam of people.
Well, yeah. I mean, somebody said to me the other day, Bob Irsay, and I went, wow.
Yeah.
I said, he's in there. I mean, you know, you can say there's a little Billy Sullivan in there, you know, because the owner needs money, right? So then poor Billy Sullivan, that guy. I mean, he always needed money. I mean, he just couldn't get, you know. Schaefer Stadium was built on the cheap, worse than some high school stadiums. So, anyways, yeah, it was a lot of fun to write, and it's just a good. The thing I've learned about people in reading, Rich, is people don't want to have to work to read. They just want to have a good time reading, and it's true. And I think a lot of times authors just overthink it, and they just make the reader work too hard.
We're talking with Gary Tankwa. His book is called The Arm and the Fall. It's available right now on Amazon. One of the things that makes the book so good and so believable is you write what you know about, and you know the world of big-time sports, and you know the world of sports media, and you bring that knowledge right to the front in all of this. So even when some crazy things happen, you're like, I could see that happening.
Well, yeah, I definitely push it. I mean, like I was talking to, I have a friend of mine who's a novelist, and we were... He said, look, he goes, you just want people to say that could happen. You know, I mean, I cut 30 pages out at one point where, like, you know, he goes, that you may be losing me on that. You know, it was just a little too over the top, because I love exciting big stuff. You know, I love the buddy cop movies, you know, with the banter, and, you know, I love movies like The Rock with Sean Connery, and you know, Sean Connery sits there and I is there any way that he's going to get through that turbine underwater? No, but he's Sean Connery, you know. So yeah, thank you for saying that, Rich, because I worked really hard at that, you know, because you know you want that excitement, but you don't want it to be so over the top that somebody doesn't, it takes them out of the moment. Right. And that's, I worked really hard to do that.
And there were some big surprises in there, but again, they make sense within the context of the story. No spoilers here, but the package that Cush gets, man, that was the first one where I went, oh, okay, all right, everything's on the table here.
Well, see, that's the thing, and I talked to some other authors about this. When you write, and listen to me, I mean, your boss is the you know, master of this. If you set the tone right, you know, like if you read a Stephen King novel, right, at the beginning, the tone is set and you know what you're in for, right? So, you know, if you watch, like, for example, if you watch an Adam McKay movie at the beginning of Anchorman, you know what the story is. And you don't deviate from that. I think that what I tried to do at the beginning of this book, the way it happens, you kind of go, okay, and that the moment you're just talking about, when the package arrives, then you're kind of like, okay, now I understand what this is, and you're along for the ride. And I think if you can do that and let the reader know that this is the fun roller coaster, then everybody's going to be in on it. You know what I mean? If you start out trying to write War and Peace and then halfway, you know, start doing, you know, I don't know, you know, jokes, you know, you screw yourself. People go, this is not what I'm into.
So
I worked really hard at that because it's hard to do. I mean, it's that's not easy.
it did not escape me that Jerry Cushing, the Cush, may be past his prime in many ways, but let's just say he's a love machine. I like how you work that in.
Here's the thing. I had my wife read this. I said, is there too much sex in there? She said, no. She goes, no. She was like, maybe you could cut out one scene. But my mom, you know the breakdown lane scene?
Yes.
My mother-in-law, 77, loved it. She said, I laughed my ass off. My mother-in-law.
Wow.
I got a cool mother-in-law. But here's another thing, too, because I'm starting a second novel, and this isn't going to involve the media as much, so it's a big test for me, so I have to certainly do some research. But media and sports seems to generate sexual content. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, it's just true. I mean, we've grown in the, I mean, more people in the media and in the world of sports sleep around than in any other business. And I'll throw like acting in there, you know, acting, sports, media, the biggest bunch of whores ever. I mean, you know, it's true, Rich. I mean, you know it. And it's true. It's like when you're around, okay, this is a book about athletes and TV people. There's not a faithful one in the bunch.
No, as a friend of mine would say, the morals of an alley cat.
Yeah, you know, so that's the kind of world that kind of created itself, you know?
By the way, I mean, the lead characters are fantastic, but I love the backup quarterback, Mike. What a great character.
Yeah, Gilding. Well, you know, Mike Gilding, I mean, just so stupid. I mean, just so stupid. Yeah. I mean, you know, there may be a little bit of, you know, there's a little of Zolak. I mean, Zolak, by the way, Zolak is close to Mensa, no lie. I mean, Scott Zolak has a photographic memory. Oh, wow. It's so frustrating. Oh, he'd read the playbook once, and he'd read a book and know it front to back.
Wow.
It's just he was born that way. But, you know, he's kind of got that giddy-up Yahoo quarterback that, he's an idiot. You know, and I love his wife. I mean, Mary Lou. I mean, she's
well. She got him. She got him through school in many ways.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's true. You know, I mean, there are a lot of couples that I've seen that, Rich, in pro sports. I have seen that so many times where
she had her eyes on the prize. She knew what she wanted.
Exactly. She wanted to get out of the trailer park. Yep. You know? I mean, and that was her thing. You know, she wanted to get out of the trailer park. And she's smart in her own way. I mean, she's evil and, you know, she doesn't have a high bar for morality, but she's smart in her own way. So, you know, this kind of, you almost look at a character like her and like, if somebody had pointed her in the right, the other direction, you know, she could have been very successful, but she was in just such a bad place. She was very conniving in evil ways.
Well, it is such a fun read. The book is called The Arm and the Fall, brand new from Gary Tanguay. You can get it out there on Amazon. I think we talked about it before, but it's so cinematic. I would love to see somebody pick up the option on this, because it would make a hell of a fun movie.
Well, I think so. I mean, I'm trying. Some people I know, it's on desks of people, and I'm hoping they read it. They tell me they're going to read it. And so we'll see what happens. But I'm definitely trying in that regard. So, Rich, it means a lot. I mean, you're a smart guy. You read a lot. I appreciate that you appreciate it for what it is. You know, it's a good time. You know, it's a good time, and I had a blast writing it.
Well, I put a nice review up there on Amazon that ought to show up soon. So if that doesn't sell another 3 or 4 copies, I don't know what will.
Well, I'll take anything I can get, my friend, and I really appreciate it.
Well, Gary, it's great. We loved it, and appreciate you coming on to talk with us about it. I wish you much success with this and the new book. You're in the movie that everybody is talking about. Did you expect this reaction to Don't Look Up?
No. I thought it was going to be. I loved it. There's a reaction out there of some people that aren't that high on it, that I think just wanted Step Brothers, you know, or Anchorman, or, you know, and I also think that Adam McKay is such a high bar with The Big Short, which I consider to be one of the top 20 movies of all time. The Big Short is a phenomenal movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he has a high bar there. But Adam had a message. I mean, I mean, if you follow Adam on Twitter, you know, I mean, he is big on the environment and climate change, and that's his mission, and that's why he wrote the movie. So that's a big motivation.
And I heard people say, well, you know, it's not very subtle. I'm like, yeah, you know, subtle, like in Doctor Strangelove, when you got Slim Pickens riding the nuclear bomb into the sunset, that kind of subtlety.
Well, exactly right, Rich. I mean, I think that if you're looking for something that doesn't make you think, that's not the movie.
No.
No, I mean, it is. I mean, it's very smart. I think some of the humor in it is just like Paul Guilfoyle, who's a Boston guy who played the general there.
He's great.
Snacks. I mean, it's just, I go, who thinks of that? Right. I go, that is brilliant. Yeah. For people, I don't want to spoil it, but, you know, Jonah Hill at the end is phenomenal. Jonah Hill, the whole thing is hilarious. I mean, you know, Streep's great. You know, I think some people just thought it was, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if they thought it was too preachy or whatever. Is that what you were talking about? Like mixed reviews?
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is the people who've watched it, the audience members love it. There are a few critics that are like, I don't know, it's too obvious, but, tell that to the people, because, everybody I've talked to and from what I've seen out there from comments of those people who are not film critics are like, this thing is great.
Well, I've talked to a couple of friends of mine that it just wasn't, you know, they wanted, when they went, you know, they wanted, you know, they wanted Anchorman, you know,
right.
And that's not it. I mean, and Adam's, you know, I think Adam McKay is done doing that. I mean, he did it. That's over with. It's not that genre. And so, but he's also so established in his career that, you know, I don't think he cares. You know, like this is what, you know, it must be nice, right? Where, you know, you can be as successful as an Adam McKay and do what you want and appeal to our, I mean, if you think, I mean, it's one of those movies that makes you think, you know, I mean, I don't want to be a snob about it, but that's kind of where you're at. It's like, if you don't want to think about something and you want to, you know, then watch One Tree Hill, you know, if you want to look at something and look at the subtext and listen to the lines and listen to the subtle humor and the parodies and the social commentary, and you want to pay attention, then it's the movie for you. I mean, the guy is brilliant. He is brilliant. You know, he just is.
Well, I thought it was terrific. Don't Look Up with Gary and his new book, The Arm and the Fall. Gary, thanks as always for making time for us this afternoon. Happy New Year to you and the family, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Richie, I really appreciate it. I'm really proud of this book, and thanks for talking about it.
You betcha. See you, Gary.
Thanks.